The era of binge watching. So we have a mitzvah that I wanted to discuss with Siyat HaShemayah this morning, which really gets to the point, really gets to the core, speaks to this concept of internalizing and actualizing the experience of Matan Torah. To get to that mitzvah, to get to the Maor Makomos, to get to the sources, maybe we'll read the most legitimate and authentic and firmest source you could possibly have, the first source on the sheet, Wikipedia. So if you look at Wikipedia, the definition for binge watching, now, this is just a what they call in Yusmicha, a hook, a way of grabbing everyone. So in case, you know, my good looks and jokes didn't get you right away, so now we have a hook from Wikipedia. The idea of binge watching. What's binge watching? I did not grow up with binge watching. It didn't exist. Probably because I don't think TV and movies were on phones and computers so much at the time when I was growing up. But I know nowadays they have programs. I think Rabbi Muskin, your shul has its own version of Netflix also, correct? Netflix. So there's ways of observing television and movies and entertainment called binge watching. What is binge watching? So if you look in the bolded text over here, a simple definition, binge watching is basically watching complex quality TV in such a way that you're watching it one after the other without really taking any breaks, sometimes without even sleeping for many hours on end. People will binge watch their favorite shows, get to the crescendo, get to the exciting parts, and just zoom through seasons. And the Wikipedia weighs in over here, binge watching erodes the social value of television. If there was any social value of television, it becomes eroded. That's my editorializing there. As there are fewer opportunities to anticipate future episodes and discuss them with friends. So when a person used to watch television, used to enjoy entertainment, used to go to a play, an opera, something like that, they would sit there and take it all in. They'd socialize with people around them. They'd discuss what's going to happen next. They'd have questions and cliffhangers, and they really spend time reveling in the experience. But somehow now we have this experience called binge watching, which allows us to just soak up all that information, all that entertainment so quickly and so easily without thinking, without focusing, without paying attention, without wondering and anticipating what's going to happen next. And that erodes the social value or the experiential value of the concept of entertainment. And that's totally unimportant. Okay, television is not important, and entertainment's a little bit not so important. But it's important as a mashal. It's important as a parable. It really sheds light on something that we've integrated, unfortunately, into our lives with Talmud Torah. Something that has impacted the way we learn, the way we absorb information other than entertainment, other than television. And I think if we spend a few moments now learning some of these sources inside, we'll see exactly where we go wrong and how we can right that wrong, how we can engage in Talmud Torah in such a way that it doesn't become binge-watching, which is an eroded version of Talmud Torah. If you look in source number one, you'll find the Pesukim in Parshas Yisro, which refer to Kabbalah Satorah, Matan Torah, Maimon Har Sinai. Now these Pesukim have many, many deep implications and many, many important phrases, but I wanted to focus not so much on the content of Maimon Har Sinai, but on the context of Maimon Har Sinai. The experience, the revelation of Maimon Har Sinai, of Kabbalah Satorah, that's told to us in these Pesukim in Parshas Yisro, and soon we'll pivot to the Psukim, the second telling of the story of Matan Torah in Parshas Va'eschanan and in source number 4. But in source number 1 for now, you see in Perek Chaf in Pasuk Tesvav, the Torah tells us as follows, if you look inside, V'chol Ha'am, we stood at the foot of the mountain, the entire nation, Roim Es Hakolos, we saw sounds, Ves HaLapidim, Ves Kol HaShofar, we saw the sounds, we saw the thunder, we saw the sounds of the shofar being blown, we were able to visualize things that are usually heard. And this sensory switch that took place at Har Sinai was obviously awe-inspiring. It was probably frightening, but it definitely left an impact on the people who were there. They were ro'im es hakolos. They saw what is usually experienced through the ears, and that was a mind-blowing experience of Har Sinai. But what's the point of that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't make nisim just to impress us, just to make a sound and light show, or a light and sound show, depending on which order you want to go in order to impress us for no reason. There must be a deeper intention to the miracles that are taking place at Har Sinai. So if you go back to the Pesukim in Parshas Shmos, which we don't really have on the sheet over here, but we have some of the sources related to it, you'll notice a character trait, a midah, quality of Moshe Rabbeinu, which I don't think gets talked about all that often, but it's very important to focus on just a little bit. Moshe Rabbeinu has this uncanny ability to see things. Moshe Rabbeinu at one point is walking, he's shepherding his flock down the in the desert, he's walking with all of the sheep, he's taking them to their destination, and suddenly he sees to his side, just over his shoulder, he notices a burning bush. And the pasuk says, "Vayar kisar liros." HaKadosh Baruch Hu notices that Moshe Rabbeinu was sar liros. What does it mean, sar liros? He diverted his attention, sar, liros, to see what was going on. Now, because of that, the Pesukim implied, because he was sar liros, because Moshe Rabbeinu turned his attention and checked out the burning bush, because of that, what happens? Kadosh Baruch Hu reaches out and speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu. So because he noticed the burning bush, Hashem says, oh, that's a person worthy of hearing my word. That's a person worthy of communicating with me what will become panim al panim. That's a person worthy of hearing Dvar Hashem directly from me because he was sar liros. And the question begs itself. If I was driving down the road and I saw, Rahman al-Tan, a car accident, I saw a burning bush or a burning tire or something like that, wouldn't I also turn and cause traffic behind me in order to see what was going on? Wouldn't I also be sar liros? That's not such an impressive quality. That's not such an impressive midah. But if you look in source number 2 over here, the Sforno notes that liros doesn't mean what we colloquially use as re'ia, as seeing, but rather it means something a little bit deeper, a little bit more important. If you look in source number 2, the Sforno says, Vayar Hashem ki sar liros. Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu looked. He paused. He looked to the side to see the bush. What does it mean, liros? Lehizbonein badavar. What does it mean, lehizbonein badavar? He internalized. He paid attention. He took the sight in. We say this in English also. We say, I see what you're saying. We don't mean I actually visualize the thing that's coming out of your mouth. What we mean is that I understand what you're saying. We have this in Lashon HaMishnah as well. The Mishnah sometimes say, Roa ani as divrei Admon. I see what Admon is saying. I see what you're saying. I understand deeply. I internalize. I take in the message that you're trying to relate to me. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person like that, a Moshe Rabbeinu who doesn't just see a car accident and get excited because, oh my gosh, I could take a picture and tweet it to the world and show them what my exciting day I had. No, he's sar liros, not just to look, not just to witness, to be actively contemplate and take in and internalize the message of what's being telegraphed to him through this burning bush. That's a Moshe Rabbeinu who I want to talk to. That's a Moshe Rabbeinu who I want to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. That's someone who deserves a relationship with me, who earned a relationship with me, pet el pet, to talk panim al panim, to discuss things with me, to understand my word, because he's sar liros, because he sees what's going on. And we have this time and again with Moshe Rabbeinu, but the point is over here, in Matan Torah, we have a similar idea. If you look again in the Pesukim, we saw, v'chol ha'am roim es hakolos. We said, oh, what's the point? Roim es hakolos, they saw sounds. Who cares they saw sounds? A miracle, what does it do for us? What's the point of that? Just to be exciting, just to be flashy? Just to show, Rahman Sam, just to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has special powers? No. Says the Sforno here too in Parshas Yisro, Roam es hakolo, says the Sforno, kimo velibi ra, in the sense of my heart saw what was going on, his boninu be'inyan hakolos. The same point. The re'iya, the seeing, the visualization of the kolos at Har Sinai, it wasn't about the physical miracle, the sensory switch, the fact that our ears were taking in what our eyes take in, and our eyes were taking what our ears usually take in. No, the point was ro'im. They were mizbonein. Vayar ha'am. Hizboninu ma'lasos. Whenever we see the word re'iya in this context as a sforno, it means something deeper. It means that a person is just not just excited by the flashy nature of what's going on around them. It doesn't just catch your attention, but it causes you to pause and take it in. The generation we live in, the digital age, the binge-watching era, whatever you want to refer to it as, is very good at re'iya in that first sense. We're very good at seeing things. We see a lot of things. We see more things than we should see. We have a very great sense of vision. But how often do we take time to turn that vision into hisboninus? How often do we take time to turn that vision into internalization? To trying to take the message of what's being shown to us, what's being telegraphed to us, and put it deeper and closer into our hearts. To understand what we're being shown. I always wonder, how many times in my life have I passed the burning bush? And maybe I've seen the bush, and maybe I've taken out my phone to take a picture of it, but how many times have I stopped and thought what that burning bush is trying to say every day, every week, every month? How many times has the Ribono Shel Olam reached out and burned the bush in front of my eyes, and I've just missed the cue? Because I'm roeh, but I'm not really roeh. There are so many examples of this in social science, but one interesting one, not the one on the sheet, although it's worth looking at source number 3 as well. Source number 3 is from a book called Brain Rules, which is a very interesting book. I enjoyed it a lot, and it's easy read because, let's say, it's 300 pages. About the last 10 pages of every chapter are about evolution. So if you skip those, it's a pretty short book. It's not worth reading those pages anyways. So it's a pretty short book if you skip the evolution part. It's a very interesting book about the brain. But in a different book called Irresistible by Adam Alter, which is a book about how the technology industry made technology so addictive, he quotes a very fascinating study. He says they did a study where they put men and women into a room alone for an hour, and they said to them that you have a choice. You can sit here and be alone with your thoughts, or you can press this button whenever you want. What does the button do? I mean, most people didn't even ask the question. They probably just pressed the button. But they said, what does the button do? So they said, well, the button gives you a little bit of an electric shock. It's not terribly painful, but it's uncomfortable. You're not going to enjoy the experience. And they let them try it out. And the people tested it, and they got a jolt, and they didn't like it so much. And now they know what the button does. And they left the room closed. There was one male who buzzed the buzzer 120 times in 1 hour. He could not stop pressing the buzzer. He didn't enjoy it, but he could not stand to be alone with his thoughts. 1/3 of women pressed the buzzer at some point during that hour, and 2/3 of men, you guys can make your own conclusions from this, 2/3 of the men pressed the buzzer at least once during that hour. The point being, what the study showed, that people do not want to think. People do not want to reflect. They do not want to be alone in a room thinking, alone with themselves, alone with their thoughts, just taking in what they've observed in the past. They need to see something. They need to do something. We need to be stimulated. But that stimulation is often so shallow. It's as shallow as an uncomfortable electric shock. And we prefer that to his bonus. We prefer that to internalizing. Says the Torah, Roim es hakolos, vayar besivlosam. Kisar liros, you have to be roe, you have to see, you have to internalize in the way the Sforno was telling us, his boneness, you have to take it in. And the Talmud Torah experience cannot mimic what we see in that study. It can't be that we click online, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where there's so many opportunities to go online and get a shir. You can listen on single speed, double speed, 1.5 speed, you can do it however you want to do it. You can get through so much information and be roe, see so many divrei Torah at the snap of a finger. It's so easy. But we have to also press pause once in a while. We have to be reflective. We have to think about the Torah we're learning. We have to ask questions. We have to go to a base medrash and learn with a chavrusa. We have to go to a base medrash and hear someone talk live to our faces so that we can understand the facial cues, so we can understand the nuances of Talmud Torah, so we could push and challenge the person and try to grow together in the experience of Talmud Torah. We have to be ro'eh es hakolos. The Talmud Torah experience, not just at our Sinai, but every day of our lives, is supposed to be interactive. It's supposed to be something which leads to internalization. It's supposed to be something which we actually take in a serious manner, sar liros, in the sense of his boniness, as the Sforno spelled out for us. So that is the first message, I think, that we see from the context of Matan Torah, the context of what's coming up, Chag Gashuas, Kabbalah Satorah, the Roim es hakolos, which we so sorely miss in the generation, in the era of binge-watching. But there's more to the story, there's more tochen, there's more halacha over here, and there's more to learn, so let's move to source number four. In source number four, we have, again, the other iteration of Matan Torah, the other telling of the story, and the psukim tell us very cryptically, Raki Shamer Lecha, you should guard yourself. Raki Shamer Lecha, Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od, Pentishkach, if you look in the bold, Es HaDvar HaMesher Roei Necha. So the psukim surrounding Har Sinai tell us, you should guard your nefesh, guard your soul very carefully, Ma'od. What? Pentishkach Es HaDvar HaMesher Roei Necha, lest you forget, Ufen Yasur Mil Vavcha Kol Yimei Chayecha, Vodatim Levenecha, Ulev Nevanecha, Yom Asher Amarta, etc. So what does this pasuk mean? Raki Shamer Lecha, Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od. So how many of us have heard that pasuk before? V'nishmartem Ma'od L'Nafshecheichem, Raki Shamer Lecha, Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od. In what context have you heard that pasuk quoted, usually? Health. You should wear a mask. You should put on a seatbelt. You shouldn't go skydiving. No, whatever. Different rabbis say different things about it. You shouldn't go skydiving. You should be careful about your health. You should be shomer es hanefesh. You should guard your soul exceedingly carefully. That's the way we usually hear it. And the truth is, the Rambam in Hilchos Shmir es hanefesh, he does quote this pasuk in that context. It's questionable where the source in Chazal is that they actually understood. There's at least one guy in Chazal who understood the pasuk this way, but it's questionable whether any Jews in history understood the pasuk of "Nishmartem Ma'od L'Nafshecheichem" or "Raki Shamer Lecha" as a charge to guard your nefesh in the sense of health and medicine and the like. But we usually do hear it in that context, and that's legitimate. There is a truth to the source being used in that way. But if you look in the pasuk inside, it has nothing to do with Shmiras HaNefesh in the classical sense. It has nothing to do with guarding your bodily health, guarding taking medicine, or wearing a seatbelt like I mentioned before. It clearly is totally unrelated to that. So what is it related to? It's related to Har Sinai, right? It's in the context of Matan Torah. It's in the context of Kabbalah Satorah. And somehow here, the Torah throws in, Raki Shamer Lecha Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od, Pentishkach Es HaDvar Masher Roei Necha. So what is that pasuk trying to tell us? So if you look in source number 5, Chazal and Maseches Avos, I think this was anyone who's doing the weekly limud, I think we did Perek Gimel over Shabbos, I think. So the Mishnah in Perek Gimel tells us, Rabbi Dustai, Rabbi Yanai, Mishim, Rabbi Meir Omer, in the bold, in source number 5, Kol HaShecheach Davar Echad MiMishnaso, anyone who forgets even one thing from his Torah learning, Ma Le'alav HaKasuv Ki'ilu Mischayiv B'Nafsho, it's akin to someone who's chayiv to be killed, someone who deserves to die for having forgotten one thing from their learning. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, our Pasuk, Raki Shamer Lecha, Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od, Pentishkach Makes sense. The Torah was talking about Har Sinai. The Torah was talking about Matan Torah, Maimon Har Sinai, Kabbalah Torah. And in that context, the Torah threw in, Raki Shamal Achal, Shmor Nafsh Samo, be very, very careful. What? Pentishkach as advar, Mashar Roi Necha, lest you forget the things which you learned today. Oh, so if you forget something which you learned today, it's not a Shmiras HaNefesh. What does it sound like? A person who forgets the Torah that he learned, or the Torah that he learned at Har Sinai, or the Torah they learned in every Har Sinai experience since then, he deserves to not have a Shmiras HaNefesh. He's going to Rachman Al-Tlan, be akin to Mischayev Benasho. He sort of deserves to lose his life. That's what the Mishnah seems to tell us. Very, very scary possibility. For those of us who know Torah, it's a scary possibility. For people like me and some other people I know, it's not so scary. There's not so much to forget. But if a person knows a lot of Torah, this is very frightening. You can forget Torah and be mischayev benafsho. Very, very scary. Does that mitzvah apply nowadays? So that sounds like a crumb question to ask. What do you mean? Does the mitzvah apply nowadays? Every mitzvah applies for eternity. Mitzvahs don't change. The Torah doesn't change. The Torah is able to relate to a new society and new norms and new understandings of Metzius, but the Torah doesn't change. Mitzvahs don't go away. So what does that mean? What am I asking? So it's not so krum. Source number 6, you have on the right side, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, on the left side, Rav Shneur Zalman Aliyad, the Baal Tanya, the Shulchan Aruch Harav. This is not a statement hashkafically right and left, it's just the way it fell out on the paper. So in source number 6, you have the two poskim, or two gedolim, Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Baal Tanya, who are both asked that very same question. Does this mitzvah of Hishamar Lachal, Shmur Nafshkam O, Pentishkach Hazadvar, Masher Roi Necha, this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, does it still apply in the modern times? Do you still have a chiv to remember the Torah you learn and never forget it, lest you be chayiv bin nafsho? So Rav Chaim Volozhiner said a fascinating answer. We'll read it inside, source number 6 on the right side. Be'inyan hashecheach davar echad mimishnaso. Regarding someone who forgets some of his learning, zekai al rishonim shelamdu ba'al peh. That refers to the original Jewish people who were learning, who used to learn Baal Peh, meaning there was a great, big, vast Torah Shbaal Peh, an oral Torah, which had no kiyum in writing. It was never put to paper. It was usur to put it to paper until Rebbe decided to compose the Mishnayos, and from then on we have a lot more Torah and Talmud Torah that's put into pages and print. But until that time, there was a chiyuv to remember the Torah Baal Peh. Why? Says Rav Chaim Volozhiner. At that point, and Revelvel Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, says something similar in his Chiddush Ma'al Torah. At that point in history, the only way to maintain the Masorah, the only way to make sure that the Torah remained alive and that we didn't forget completely the tradition of Talmud Torah, of Har Sinai, of everything we received at the foot of the mountain, the only way to make sure, to ensure that we kept that for all eternity, was to remember the Torah we learned. But the second you're able to commit it to Ksav, the second you're able to put it down on paper, the second you're able to write it down in published form and a printing press comes along and allows you to publish widely across the entire world, the second you're able to commit all of that to Ksav, to put it into writing, there's no longer such a concern that we're going to lose the Torah. There's no longer such a concern that the Torah will be, Rachman al-Islam, forgotten. And so this mitzvah of kol ha-shochech davar echad, that someone should never, ever, chas v'shalom, forget the Torah he learns, becomes a little less relevant, says Rav Chaim Volozhiner, in the modern day, because we have everything already. We're not going to lose the Torah. We're Baruch Hashem insured to keep that Masorah going for all eternity, even if you might forget something you learned the other day. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner suggests. The Baal Tanya here on the left side says, impossible. Impossible. Mitzvahs HaTorah are eternal. Mitzvahs HaTorah last forever. How can you tell me that the mitzvah of Kol HaShecheach Davar Echad Raki Shamar L'cha goes away? Okay, Mitzvahs changed, that's true. Now we have a printing press, now we have things in writing. All of that is very nice and true, but the mitzvah can't disappear. It can't be that you no longer have a mitzvah. And because of that, he argues that the mitzvah is still very much so. Gam achshav shenichtav haTorah shebaalpeh v'yuchal la'ayin besvarim. Even though it's true, you can look things up, you have references. No, but Masha Shachach, ein zeh mo'el klum, ki miyad sheshachach over v'lav kodem she'ayin k'mo b'yimeihem. Even though you're able to look up and review what you forgot, the second you forget, before you have a chance to look it up and remind yourself, you've already violated that Isser. You've already violated the Isser of forgetting Torah, and that Isser is alive and well, even Bizman HaZeh. Now, that's an interesting machlokas, a very fascinating machlokas, whether the mitzvah still applies in full force. And Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Baal Tanya seem to disagree on one level as to whether this mitzvah still applies in full force nowadays, that you must remember every word you ever learned, and you can't rely on these svarim that were written and composed for you to look them up. But one place where I think they will converge, where they will agree, is that even if it's true Like the Baal Tanya said, that the mitzvah of Kol Shecheach, the mitzvah of Raki Shamar Lecha, still applies equally nowadays. You have to remember the Torah you learn, even if that's true. But the quality and the style and the way of Talmud Torah has certainly shifted over generations. It used to be that the most integral, most important, most critical way of learning, the only way that a person could ensure that the Masorah was kept, was rote memorization. A person had to chazer, learn, chazer, chazer, review, review, review again and again, to make sure they committed all of their learning to memory, because there was no other way to ensure that we would have those memories in the future. So a person had to learn in such a way that they were memorizing the Torah that was given to them. And that's still true to some extent, according to the Baal Tanya today. You can't forget the Torah you learn. You have to chazer, you have to learn in such a way that you retain the information that came to you. But for sure, Talmud Torah has changed in the following sense. We do have reference Svar. We do have Gemaras that are printed. We do have Mishnayos to look at. We do have Rishonim and Acharonim. We do have ways of accessing information that's not already in our brains. And because of that, a focus has certainly shifted on some level to understanding more deeply. To try not only to memorize, to not, sometimes you walk into a school and the way the classes run is that the Rebbe just has a Meimasai Koronis HaKriyashma, Meimasai Koronis HaKriyashma, they're just repeating after him, and there's no Havana, there's no understanding, there's no depth to the learning that's going on. At one age, that's important. You have to learn how to read Hebrew. You have to know the Mishnayos Baal Peh also. But there's another level, there's an added level of learning which exists in our modern day because we have access to so much information, which is that we have to dig a little bit deeper. We have to try to turn over those Mishnayos, turn over those Gemaras, try to delve deeply into the Limud, into the Sugyas, and understand at a higher level. And that's a way that Talmud Torah has really changed or morphed or advanced over the years because of this change in Metzias, because of the access that we have to all of that information. Again, it can't turn into binge-watching. It has to turn into something which is not just again and again, episode after episode, kiviyachal, comparing it to TV, that they shouldn't just be that we're looking at the pages and going through it and memorizing it. That's one level of learning. But a person has to be sar leros. A person has to delve deeply, be misboning, focus on what they're learning, ask questions, understand a little bit more deeply. And that's the real kiyum of Matan Torah in our everyday learning experience. Now, that's very nice. According to Baal Tanya, we still have this mitzvah of Raki Shamar Lecha. According to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, maybe it's disappeared or changed over the years. But that's not exactly what the Mefarshim and Chumash say about this pasuk. The Mefarshim and Chumash also understand this pasuk of Raki Shamar Lecha, Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od, Pentishka Chesed Dvar, Mesheroi Necha. They understand that pasuk also to be referring to Talmud Torah, to Matan Torah, to Kabbalah Torah, to the context of Matan Torah. But they understand it slightly differently. Look in source number 7, you have the Ramban, which is probably the most important source we're going to discuss right now. The Ramban says that what you have in this pasuk is a charge to all of us for all generations. It's a mitzvah d'araisa. Aval akasav azeh, if you look in the bold, lefi daiti, according to my opinion, mitzvahs los asei. There is a mitzvah, a negative commandment, los asei over here. Hizir ba me'od. You have to be careful about it. Raki shamal lecha shmor nashka me'od. Ki kasher amar shenizar b'chol mitzvahs v'nishmor hachukim ha'mishpatim la'asosam. After telling us all of the mitzvahs we have to keep and make sure we keep them well, Chazar ve'amar, the Torah returns and says, Rak ani mazhircha me'od, I tell you, be very careful, li'yishamer, u'lishmor atzmecha me'od, me'od, me'ayin bo elecha mitzvahs, to realize from where, or I think the fancy way to say that is from whence, I don't know why we need two terms for that, but from where the mitzvahs came to you, shelo tishkach maimid, that you shouldn't forget the experience, the maimid har Sinai. That maimon, that context of our Sinai, we call it Dvar Mesher Rosham, all of the things you saw at our Sinai, Es HaKolos, Es HaLapidim, if you turn the page, Ves Kvodo, Ves Godlo, Udvar Mesher Shamat Hashem Mitolcha Eish, that which you heard from him, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, capital H, from within the fire, V'todia Kol HaDvar Mesher Roi Necha, you should pass this along, everything your eyes witnessed on that day, v'maimed hanichbarahu, levanecha ulevnei banecha ad olam. You should pass along that memory, that experience, that chavaya of Har Sinai. You should make sure, v'odatam levanecha ulevnei banecha, you should make sure you pass that along to every generation subsequently. Says the Ramban, the mitzvah, the charge over here, is not to remember Torah. Rashi says something like that. Rashi says you have to remember the mitzvahs which you learned at Har Sinai. Says the Ramban, no. The mitzvah del Raisa, a los essay, which we'll see in a second, he thinks is counted in the mitzvah los essay of Taryag, the 613, says the Ramban, there's a mitzvah los essay, a real mitzvah, a biblical imperative that a person has to remember not just the tochen, not just the content, the words, the mitzvahs, the dinim, the halachos that we learned at Har Sinai, but also the surrounding events, what they witnessed, what they experienced, the chavaya of Maimon Har Sinai. That is a mitzvah to remember, and v'odatam levanecha levnei benecha, to pass that along to subsequent generations. Says the Ramban, that's a mitzvah daraisa. Who's the most famous of the Moni HaMitzvos, the Count of Mitzvos, that we like to go to test this? The Rambam. People know the Rambam. Okay, we'll start from the beginning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, right? Yeah, Bereishis Bara Elokim, good. Then he gave us a Torah down the line, right? Then there was a certain amount of mitzvahs in Torah, and the Gaonim, some of them, and eventually the Rambam, wanted to find out, well, how many mitzvahs are there, and how do we count them? So the Rambam wrote for us a Sefer HaMitzvos. Sefer HaMitzvos is an amazing Sefer to learn. It gives you a lot of yesodos, foundational principles in terms of what's a mitzvah, what's not a mitzvah, what's the raisa, what's the rabbanan. It's a very amazing work to look at. And the Ramban felt that way as well. The Ramban, Nachmanides, also liked the Sefer HaMitzvos, but he liked it differently than I like it. I like it because it's amazing to take in what the Rambam says. The Ramban liked it because it's amazing to argue on the Rambam. He loves picking a good fight. Sometimes he disagrees. Sometimes he thinks the Rambam is wrong. Sometimes he doesn't disagree. He just wants to point out how the Rambam could have said it differently or how you could defend the people who disagree with the Rambam. But he's always finding a way to pick a fight with the Rambam. So if you look in the Sefer HaMitzvos, you'll find time and again the Ramban says, no, this is not a mitzvah. Yeah, this is a mitzvah. Right, back and forth. The problem is, if you take out a few mitzvos from the Rambam's count, what happens? Yeah, you're missing. The balance isn't there anymore, right? If you agree there need to be 613, which is, by the way, questionable. The Ramban spends a couple of paragraphs trying to prove whether or not 613 is really the ironclad number that we have to go with. But assuming there are 613 mitzvos, if you take 2 out, if you take 10 out, you're left with 611 or 603. I never finished math in high school, but I think I got that right. So you're left with less mitzvos. So what do you have to do? At the end of the Sefer, the Ramban says, Mitzvos essay and mitzvos lo esay sheshachach harav limnos. He says, I'll do you a service. I took out X amount of mitzvos. Let me show you where I think you could replace those, which mitzvos the Rambam forgot to mention, which make up for the count that I've taken out. So the Ramban, in the second of the mitzvos lo esay sheshachach harav limnos, the second of the mitzvos lo esay, which he claims the Rambam forgot to mention, he says, this very mitzvah, raki shamar lecha, ushmor nafshcha ma'od, pen tishkach ez advar mesher ro'ei necha. Says the Ramban, there's a mitzvah daraisa. And guess who forgot to count it? The Rambam. Now, that's not so bothersome. The Rambam and the Ramban are allowed to have a machlokas. They're allowed to disagree. They're rishonim. One thinks there's a mitzvah, one doesn't think there's a mitzvah. That's not so problematic. It doesn't bother me so much the Ramban thinks so and the Rambam thinks there's not. That's not such a big deal. The issue is that if you look in source number 8, you'll see that the Rambam did think it was a mitzvah. In source number 8, you have Igeres Teman, which was a letter the Rambam wrote in the 12th century to the people who lived in Yemen, in Teman, who were facing some crises of emunah. Particularly, there were false messiahs, but he was writing a letter of chizuk to help them with their faith, with their emunah, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in this context, the Rambam has an interesting line. If you follow along in source number 8 with me, in the second side of the sheets here, with the bold, Ukemo kein, Zichru Maimon Har Sinai. You have to remember Maimon Har Sinai. Shetzivanu, what does the word tzivanu mean? He commanded us, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us. Shetzivanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Luzachro Tamid. What does that mean? Hashem commanded us to remember Har Sinai constantly. V'gam hiziranu milashachcha oso. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us not to forget it. V'tzivanu commanded us l'lamid oso levneinu v'hodatam levnecha levnein benecha k'dei sheyigdlu al Talmudo. Hu mashenemar, that's what the pasuk says, as if it wasn't blatant enough. Raki shamar lecha shmor nafshecha ma'o pen deshechas bar mesher roi necha pen yasur milvavcha kol yimecheyecha v'hodatam levnecha levnein benecha, etc. V'roi lechem achinu shetiglu b'neichem ala maim rahu agadol. Says the Rambam, there's a mitzvah. Sounds like he's saying there's a mitzvah daraisa. Tzivanu, there's a charge, there's an imperative that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us. They have to remember Har Sinai. You are not allowed to forget it. And you have to tell your subsequent generations all about that maimid, all about that experience of Har Sinai. What does that sound like? Whose opinion does that sound like? The Ramban. The Ramban told us there's a mitzvah to remember Har Sinai, we get that. And not to forget Har Sinai, we get that. He also told us that the Rambam left it out. We get that too, because the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos did not put a mitzvah like that. But then the Rambam in his Igeris, in his letter over here, or there's a fancy way to say that also. Epistle? Epistle? You say, is the T pronounced? Epistle or epistle? All right, epistle sounds violent. I don't know. So either way, a letter. The letter the Rambam wrote to Teiman, so he includes this mitzvah, seemingly, this charge that a person has to remember Har Sinai and not chas v'shalom forget it. So now we have an issue. It's not just a machlokas, Ramban and Rambam, but it's actually something very contradictory within the Rambam itself. So how do we resolve this contradiction? How do we resolve this stira? How do we figure out how the Rambam, on the one hand, could tell you there's a mitzvah, there's a tzivoy, tzivanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to remember Har Sinai and not forget that experience? And on the very same, on the other hand, or on the very same hand, he'll tell you it's not counted in the Sefer HaMitzvos. How could that possibly be? How do we resolve this seeming stira, this seeming contradiction in the Rambam? So in order to understand that, let's try to see if there are any practical applications of this mitzvah of remembering Har Sinai. Can anyone think of a way in which they remember Har Sinai practically, halacha, something in Shulchan Aruch, or something, you know, in your article Siddur, if you need a hint, that helps you remember Har Sinai every single day or any amount of times during the year? Sheish Zechiros, excellent, that's the number that's what I was looking for. So how many people here say the Sheish Zechiros every day? This is a safe place. Yeah, everyone could. Okay, so some people say it. It's definitely the minhag of our scroll that we could agree on. It's in the Siddur, right? Okay, not everyone says it. Some people say it. There are five others. As Asher HaKzavta, Maisa Miriam, which we spoke about at the Anziska home a few months ago. Maisa Miriam and we spoke about Parsha Zachor then, right? So there are different Zechiros, things that we're supposed to remember on a consistent basis. And there's a minhag which developed. You find it in the Yireim and the Charedim. You find it in the Shlach. You find the Ramban references some of these. The Magen Avraham talks about it in Shulchan Aruch. There's a minhag, there's an idea, halacha, to try to remember six things that happened over the course of Jewish history. What about Maim Har Sinai? That is one of the Sheish Zechiros, one of the things that it's written in the Siddur. Even if you don't say the Sheish Zechiros, the Torah points out in Aruch Chaim that we remember, we commemorate Har Sinai every single day. When? When we say Birchas HaTorah. We say Asher Bachar Rabbanu Mikol Am. We say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us from all the nations. Nasan Lanu, the Torah. He gave us the Torah at Har Sinai. So we remember Har Sinai every single day when we say Birchas HaTorah as well. So there is a concept of remembering Har Sinai even on a daily basis. Nowhere in the Ramban over here did he tell us we have to remember it every day. Nowhere did the Rambam tell us it has to be every day. They use the Lashon of Tamid maybe, but it's not clear that it has to be daily. But that's a minhag or a halacha which developed, which relates to what we're talking about, the mitzvah to remember, to commemorate, to understand, and to reflect on the experience of Maimon Har Sinai. Is there any other way it becomes practical in our lives? So one way that maybe it doesn't become practical in our lives. There's a Rav in, anyone here have a Dallas connection? No. There you go. Okay. That's all I needed. It doesn't matter if you're lying or telling the truth. That's all I needed. I need someone to answer. Okay. So there's a Rav in Dallas. His name is Rabbi Yachmiel Fried. I think he runs a kollel in Dallas. He's the author of the Sefer Yom Tov Sheni Kilchasa. A good, helpful halacha sefer. He's also the author of a sefer called Ma'adani Shlomo, which is great. He was very close with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And he wrote a book. It's pretty long. It's got a lot of meat to it. Where he used to drive Rav Shlomo Zalman around. He used to go to his shiurim. He used to ask him all of his shailas. So he collected a lot of memories of his experiences with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and a lot of the shimush and a lot of the answers his Rav gave him and stories about him. So he said one time, Rabbi Yachmiel Fried said that one time he was at his friend's house for a meal and he saw a beautiful painting on the wall. It was a canvas and it was an amazing masterpiece. It was beautifully painted and it depicted Maimon Har Sinai. There were lightning flashes and there was Moshe Rabbeinu with a long white beard and it was just amazing, awe-inspiring picture. And he was really reveling in that painting. And he went to Rav Shlomo Zalman and he asked him a question. He said, should I buy the painting? Should I ask an artist to make a mock-up, or maybe they have other copies of it? Should I get such a painting? He said, first of all, it's beautiful. Like, it's great to adorn my home with Torahic paintings. Why not? He said, second of all, maybe it's a kiyum of this Ramban. Maybe that's a way for me to look at and reflect on the experience of Har Sinai every single day. My kids will grow up within their homes and will be kiyum this mitzvah d'araisa of Raki Shamar L'cha Shmor Nafshecha Ma'od Pentishkach HaZadvar Mashay Ra'oi Necha. Every day will be Ra'oi Necha. Every day we'll see Maimon Har Sinai, the experience, the lights and sounds of Har Sinai. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said like this. This is what Rabbi Fried reports. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, he can't say it's aser. He can't say it's prohibited to make such a painting, but he advises against it. And he said, and this is such a poignant, important, deep point. He said, the experience of Maimon Har Sinai, the experience of the lights and sounds, was not a re'ia that you can get on paper. It's not something which paint on canvas can represent. And if a person thinks they can recreate the Maimid Har Sinai experience, that Chavaya, that exciting moment of Har Sinai, of Kabbalah Zatorah, and put it onto paper, put it onto canvas, and then look at it and be yotzei with $100, the remembrance of Maimid Har Sinai, then they're grossly misrepresenting and misunderstanding what Maimid Har Sinai was. It was an experience. It was a revelation. It's not something which we captured on a piece of paper. It's not something which we could hold onto through a selfie. It's something which needs to be represented through deep introspection. It's something we have to tap into our national memory. It's something which we have to spend time reflecting on deeply and not just spending a couple dollars to hang in our home and say we're Yotze. It says Rav Shlomo Zalman, it's not usher. I can't tell you it's usur, but it's not a kiyum of the mitzvah, and it's probably, in a sense, a perversion of that mitzvah. How many people here have a painting of Har Sinai? I'm joking. Nobody has to raise their hands about that. But the point of Shlomo Zalman was trying to make is that you cannot experience revelation through a picture, through a photograph. You can't experience Maimon Har Sinai and have el datam levanecha levnevanecha to pass that on to the next generation through painting a picture. It doesn't work that way. We want shortcuts, but there's no shortcut to such a thing. A person has to have deep, reflective experiences thinking about what he's supposed to internalize from the psukim, what he's supposed to internalize from what his parents and his grandparents told him about their Talmud Torah experiences. That's the way a person taps into the kolos ubrakim. That's the way a person remembers Har Sinai, and that's the way a person is ultimately v'odatim l'vanecha ulevnei vanecha. So we saw one way in which some people think there's a mitzvah even nowadays to remember Har Sinai, the sheish zechiros. Some of us do it, some of us don't. More accurately, one of us does it, most of us don't. But either way, there's a minug that you should remember six things, and Maimon Har Sinai is one of them. And we saw one way which you're not supposed to do it, painting it or taking a picture of it or trying to draw it on paper. That's probably not the proper kiyum of this mitzvah. But I would like to argue, and I'm not the first to make this argument, I'm just collecting sources for you over here, that there is a way we do this every single day, and if we understand this in a really clear fashion, we'll get to the core of the principles and some of the halachos of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah, and also impact the way we learn Torah going forward, and honestly, we'll hopefully come to a conclusion where we understand what the Rambam was trying to convey by, on the one hand, not counting this as a mitzvah, but on the other hand, clearly thinking it was a mitzvah. If you look in source number 9, and really 9, 10, and 11, and 12, you'll notice a few sources really speak to the same point, and we'll start with source number 10, just to throw you for a spin. Okay. Source number 10, the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Simen Kuf Mem Vav, says that when Kriyas HaTorah is going on in the shul, when we stand and there's laning from the Torah going on in the shul, Ein Sarach La'amud Me'umad Be'ez Shekor B'Torah. You don't need to stand while Kriyas HaTorah is going on. You don't need to be on your feet during the laning. V'yesh Machrimirim Ve'omdin. In the parentheses, maybe from the Ramah, the halacha is that you don't have to stand. But yesh machmirim, there are people who are stringent. There's a chumrah to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. Now, the way Yiddishkeit works is that we're not just machmir because, oh, why not? Let's be machmir. That's not the way Yiddishkeit works. That's not the way halacha works. So what's the reason for this chumrah? What's the reason that a person should or could, and it would be meaningful to stand during Kriyas HaTorah during laning? So the Mishnah Berurah says over here, Rav Soloveitchik has this in the footnote in the Vikashta Misham as well, that the idea of Kriyas HaTorah is not supposed to be just the laning of that week's parsha. The idea of Kriyas HaTorah, of laning, is supposed to be a recreation and an embodiment of Maimon Har Sinai. It's supposed to be another iteration of Kabbalah HaTorah. It's supposed to be a repetition of that experience of Maimon Har Sinai. At Har Sinai, nobody sat down. People were pretty frightened. They were standing at attention. They were watching. They were awe-stricken. They were taking that experience, and nobody sat on a chair or on the floor during Kabbalah HaTorah. Says the Rav, says the Mishnah Berurah, say others, that's what's going on over here as well. Maker din, maybe a person doesn't have to stand during Kriyas HaTorah. But the meaning and the importance and the significance to people who do so, to have such a chumrah, to stand during laning, is because we are recreating in those moments the time of Maimon Har Sinai. Kriyas HaTorah is another chance to live that Har Sinai experience. And when we do so, we're recreating it in a very specific and very identical fashion. And that's a kiyum. That's something to remember Maimon Har Sinai in such a way that we're literally reliving it. We're reenacting it ourselves. In source number 11, an interesting source. Also, we know the Psukim and Parshas Yisro tell us that when we heard the sounds, when we saw the sounds, and everything that was going on, Hahara Hashem, Vayara Am, they saw everything, says the Pasuk, Vayanu, Vayamdu Me'rachov. They shook, Vayanu, they trembled. And Vayamdu Me'rachov, they stood at a distance. What does it mean? They trembled. So people were shaking in their boots. There was trepidation. There was fear. Ema, Yira, Zesas, Ema, Yira. They were fearful of what was going on. Says the Baal HaTurim on the Pasuk, you ever noticed you walk into a Beis Medrash and all the guys are shuckling while they're learning? So some of them, there's another reason they're shuckling. They're just antsy. Okay. But what's the deeper reason to the Baal HaTurim? Why are they really shuckling during their learning? Says the Baal HaTurim, it's a recreation of this point as well. Vayanu, we tremble. When we learn Torah, it's be'ema v'resas u'vizeah. It's with fear, it's with trembling, it's with concern. It's a very lofty, heavy moment, Talmud Torah. And every time we learn, it's a recreation of that experience of Maimon Har Sinai, where vayanu, where people trembled, where people shook. And when we learn, we're supposed to tap into that experience. We're supposed to shake in our boots as we learn Torah. Why people shuckle during davening is a different discussion. The Ramah has a pasuk in Tehillim. The Aruch HaShulchan has a Zohar. There are other reasons for that. But within Talmud Torah, the Baal Turim says beautifully that it's supposed to, again, be this recreation of Maimed Har Sinai. And the truth is, if you look in source number 12, Rav Shmuel Rozovsky used to explain that this is really a theme that carries the day when it comes to Talmud Torah. He quotes a Tosfos Maseches Chagiga, who I think quoted Yerushalmi, that Avuya was making a bris milah or some sort of suda simcha, and he had the Tanayim, Reb Lezer, Reb Yeshua over at his house, and they were all talking and learning. That's what you do at a bris milah. They were all talking and learning, and as they were talking and learning, a ring of fire came down and enveloped the home. And Avuya turned to these Tanayim and said, "What are you trying to do? You trying to kill me? Why are you bringing a fire to my home?" And they said, "What do you mean? We're talking and learning. Smechem kenisinasan. When you talk and learning in such a way that it's genuinely as exciting, as pleasurable, as it makes you as happy, smechem kenisinasan, like the day of Nisinas HaTorah, like the day of Har Sinai, then what happened at Har Sinai? There was fire. And when a person taps into the Har Sinai experience, when he learns in such a way that it's with passion, with vigor, and he's excited by the Talmud Torah, then he really can bring the Har Sinai experience to his learning of that day. Says, say the Tanayim, what do you mean? The ring of fire? That's just us learning. This is a regular day in the office for us. This is what happens when you learn Torah at a real, genuine level. You bring Har Sinai into your life. And if you look in source number 9, you'll see Rav Schechter Shlita quotes this from the Rav as well, in the context of the Ramban, actually, but it's not important right now in terms of the context. Rav Shmuel Rozovsky, there's a 800-page or something biography of him called, I think, Rosh HaYeshiva or something. I read it, I read 5/8 of it, like 4 sukkahs ago or something like that. And then I was very disappointed because 1 sukkah later they came out with an English version. Okay. So, but the pictures were better in the Hebrew one, so I got the last laugh. But anyways, a very beautiful book, very interesting book, well written, well done. And they say that he lived this message. It's not just that he said a nice Dvar Torah that, oh, the fire came down and resembled Har Sinai. And when he gave shir, it was with kolos ubrakim. He was screaming, he was clapping on the table. It was like lightning and fire coming down while he was learning, while he was teaching. His neighbors say that when they would sit on the porch on Shabbos afternoon, they would hear him. It's amazing in 2 levels. 1, they would hear him learning from the other apartment building because he was learning with such a brand, with such a fire, with such an excitement that the level, the audibility was amazing. It was like kolos ubrakim. Secondly, they said they would come out after lunch and they would hear on Shabbos afternoon Rav Shmuel Rozovsky starting with Daf Beis and Brachos, and at the end they would hear him finishing Daf Samach. He learned 60 blot during the course of the afternoon. Okay, pretty impressive also. We should take a message from that as well. But the point is that you can relive the Har Sinai experience. You can take Talmud Torah and transform it not just to a cerebral, intellectual, or even entertaining mode of gaining information, but something which is really deeper, something which is a revelation, something we think we experienced once in history, but we can really recreate and relive every single day of our lives with Kriyas HaTorah, with Talmud Torah, B'Rabim, B'Yachid. We have a way of tapping into that. Says the Rambam, of course that's a mitzvah. Of course you have to remember the experience of Har Sinai. And of course you have to take that and pass that along to the next generation. He says in the Igaris Teman, Vitzivanu, Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to do that. But is that a mitzvah daraisa? So the answer is yes and no. Yes, it's a mitzvah daraisa. Vitzivanu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem commanded us to relive, to remember, to pass along that experience of Har Sinai, the context of Matan Torah. But it's not a separate and distinct mitzvah. It's not its own mitzvah. The Ramban says there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah on the one hand, there's also a mitzvah of Asher Ro'eh Necha, of remembering the experience. Says the Rambam, no! The mitzvah of Talmud Torah includes within it this mitzvah, this charge, this imperative that a person has to remember the experience. Talmud Torah itself, the fact that you have to learn every single day, teach your children, the fact that you have to go to Shirim, go to the Beis Medrash, the fact that we have to engage in Talmud Torah demands that it be in such a way that it's kolos ubrakim. It demands that it be in such a way that it's v'odatim v'necha v'nei v'necha. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah includes within it this mitzvah of pen tishkat ha-dvarim asher ro'eh necha. That's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It says the Rambam, of course it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah daraisa. Of course you're supposed to remember Har Sinai. Of course you're supposed to relive Har Sinai and pass it along. But that should be part of your daily learning. That should be part of the experience of Talmud Torah. If Talmud Torah is just a cerebral activity, where we're just reading pages, where we're just memorizing things, where we're just being yotze, you know, doing the Daf Yomi and checking off the box, then okay, there's a mitzvah Talmud Torah. There's something going on over there, but it's lacking in quality. The content is there, but it's lacking in the context. Says the Rambam, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah demands so much more. It demands that we tap into the revelation, the experience, that we're not just binge-watching the shiurim on Wayu Torah, that we're not just tapping into the local shiur, that we're not just listening on double speed to something or watching some stream on Torah anytime. No, we're actually tapping into the experience of Maamar Har Sinai. And that's a mitzvah. That's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So much of what Wayu and Ritz has done for me is giving me access not just to Talmud Torah, not just to content, not just to being able to look at the Gedolim who are in our base medrash, to look at the pages of the Sfarim that are in our base medrash, but they've given me an experience of Talmud Torah. They've given me an experience of Matan Torah, of Maamar Har Sinai. And if I've gleaned anything from that, then so much of what I want to do with the rest of my life is try to Behodatam Levanecha, Ulevnei Banecha, is to take that experience and pass it along to others, to try to inspire people not just to engage in Talmud Torah in a frontal, cerebral way where they're checking off boxes and going to shiurim, but to actually get into it, to actually be excited by it, to find the passion, the drive, the fire, the smechim kinesinasan, to bring a fire down from Shemayim while they're learning, to be passionate and excited, to be raki shamilcha u'shmor nafshicham o pentishka chazadvarm asher ro'o einecha, not just to learn, but to experience the revelation of Har Sinai. And b'siyat d'shmai, I hope that we have opportunities in the future. And even if it's not with me, I hope all of us find opportunities on our own in the future to tap not only into the Talmud Torah of learning, but also the experience of Har Sinai. Thank you so much for joining us, and I look forward to hearing more of the Torah with you.